Who here remembers when you were born? You remember Ogo when you were born?
Yeah.
I'm sure your mom and dad remember when you were born. Who here remembers when you were born? Well, you know, I sometimes wonder, did Jesus remember when he was born as a babe? Jesus as a baby? Well, the people that remember when we were born more than anyone else are our parents, our mommy and our daddy, our mommy and our papi. They remember when we were born. I remember when Anna was born. All right, that was quite the story. I won't go through the story right now. Mrs. Schweitzer is shaking her head no and saying thank you right now. But the Bible tells us of two individuals betrothed to one another by a legally binding engagement. An angel appeared to them, both on separate occasions, and told them that the surprising news that a baby was going to be born to them who would become the Savior of the world. Of course, we are talking about the baby Jesus. And the two individuals are Joseph and Mary. Joseph and Mary's lives were turned upside down, but they humbly listened to God's representative and obeyed the Lord's will for them. Angels appeared to both Joseph and Mary. An angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, and the angel Gabriel visited Mary. So I'd like to examine the Christmas story from the perspective of Jesus' parents. First of all, let's look at Joseph. God spoke to Joseph a number of times through dreams. Has God ever spoken to you through a dream? In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, the angel spoke to Joseph in a dream. However, before the angel came to Joseph in a dream, appeared to him in a dream, Joseph's world had been rearranged, because Mary, who was pledged to become his wife, was found to be pregnant. The Bible tells us that the Virgin Mary was to have a child through the Holy Spirit. However, Joseph did not know that this was God's plan yet. Joseph, I'm sure, was going through all kinds of swings of emotions. And I'm sure he was somewhat saddened when he first found out that his betrothed Mary was pregnant. Think about it. What must Joseph have been going through? But Matthew 1:19 shares of Joseph's character. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Notice that the Bible says that Joseph was righteous. Because of his righteousness, even though he must have been terribly disappointed over the turn of events in his life, he was determined to divorce Mary in a way that would not humiliate her. Joseph was not self-righteous, but he was considerate of others. His righteousness included mercy and compassion toward others. Joseph was the embodiment of Micah 6:8. Which says, what does the Lord require of us? Oh man, he has showed you what is good, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And so Joseph attempted to walk in that way, balancing justice and mercy. But then in Matthew 1:20, through a dream, an angel shared exactly what was happening with Mary. The angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. I can just see the sense of relief going through Joseph's heart and mind and his world being turned back in the right way. He said, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now I can just imagine what might be going through Joseph's heart and mind. What is this angel talking about? She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Wow. What swings of emotion Joseph must have experienced. Here on one hand, he is thinking of quietly divorcing Mary because of immorality. Now, he is being told that the child in her womb is going to be a savior. In the angel's address to Joseph, he referred to Joseph as the son of David, emphasizing that Joseph and their baby Jesus were in the kingly line of David. That meant something very important. Both Mary and Joseph were descendants of Israel's King David, whom we know God called a man after his heart. The angel proceeds to declare that this baby will have the name Jesus, which is the Greek word for the name Joshua, which means the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. Oscar started out and set the tone this morning, emphasizing that to save, what a great thing it is to be saved. The Lord is salvation. In effect, Jesus would be the Savior of the world. What a turn of events was now occurring in Joseph's life. This baby would bless not only Joseph and Mary, but also the entire world. Jesus would be the Savior of the world. But what would Jesus save us from? The angel told Joseph that he will save his people from their sins. The purpose of Jesus' coming to this earth was to save us from our sin. What does sin do? What does unconfessed sin do? What does a pattern or a lifestyle of sin do in our lives? Left unchecked, sin destroys us, destroys our lives, destroys our relationships. Hurtful habits and obsessive addictions result in unintended consequences for us. And these unintended consequences lead to two kinds of imprisonment. Sometimes that imprisonment is in the form of legal, man-made bars. However, often the imprisonment comes in the form of very real spiritual prisons of our own hearts and minds. That kind of bondage is what unrepentant sin can do in our lives. However, Jesus came just for that purpose. Jesus came to free us, as has been already shared with us today. Jesus came to free us from that bondage, the spiritual imprisonment of sin and its terrible consequences. The Bible says that Jesus came as a redeemer. That's one of his titles. That's one of his names. He is a redeemer. You see, Jesus came to purchase us from bondage. He came to purchase us from imprisonment. Just as if you were a slave and someone bought you and then immediately told you that you're no longer in slavery. You're free. That's what Jesus did for us. We were in slavery. We were in bondage to sin. But Jesus, our Redeemer, came and purchased us and then set us free. He purchased us by dying on a cross. His blood was the purchase price and taking on our penalty for our sin. He took our penalty. He took our sentence. He took our imprisonment. And he said, you are now free to go. Then Jesus showed us his love by saying you're free. You're no longer enslaved to sin and its terrible consequences. You're free to live the life God created you to live. Jesus saves us. He frees us from sin and its bondage. Matthew 20:28 explains that Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many. We were enslaved and imprisoned by sin. But through his dying on the cross, Jesus paid our ransom price. He paid the penalty and freed us from prisons of sin. During Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ. There are many stories told at Christmas time, but the only true one is the greatest one of all, the story of Christ's birth. Matthew 1, 22 and 23 declares, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Our first song this morning emphasized God with us, Emmanuel, which means God with us. The best proof of God and His Word is the birth of Christ. There are multiple instances of Jesus being the fulfillment of detailed Old Testament prophecies occurring hundreds of years earlier. Study it out. We don't have time to go through it this morning because I know we're still getting ready for our celebrations today. But to the detail, multiple instances of prophecies that occurred hundreds of years earlier. Jesus and Mary went this way. Jesus and Mary took a route that way. Of how Jesus was a fulfillment of prophecy. These prophetic fulfillments surrounding the birth of Christ prove the authority and authenticity of Scripture as God's Word. One of those was that the prophet Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, we all know, means God with us. It means with us is God. Say, God is with me. How does Jesus save us? How does anyone save us? I can remember one of my siblings. I don't think it was Tim here. He was stuck in a tree, all right? And he was like, you know, he had one leg on one side of the V in a tree and the other leg on the other side of the V in a tree, and he was like stuck in a tree, all right? And I got him out of that unstuck position, and he really thought that I had saved him, all right? And I kind of like let that go for all it's worth, that I had saved my brother. How does anyone save us? How does a lifeguard save a drowning swimmer? How does a paramedic save a person having a heart attack? The person saving us has to be with us. Well, God is with us. Jesus saves us because He's with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. John 1:14 explains, the Word became flesh, that's Jesus, and made His dwelling among us, that's us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is with us. He came. He came. He walked this earth. He was born. He was fully human, fully God. He came. He walked this earth. We have disciples that testify. We have upwards of 500 witnesses that saw Him after He died on the cross and rose from the dead. We have witnesses that Jesus came among us. He's dwelling among us. And He's full of grace and truth. At the end of His time on this earth, Jesus said to His disciples, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The basis of our Christian faith is that Jesus Christ was born miraculously of the Virgin Mary, fully God, fully human, experiencing hunger, experiencing temptation, living this life, living a perfect sinless life. He went to the cross willingly. He took our penalty for us. The wages of sin is death. He died in our place. He took our penalty. He died and He rose again. And if we receive Him, He is with us today. That's faith in Christ. Faith that Christ is with us. Faith that Christ is true to His Word. After Joseph woke up from his dream, Joseph obeyed the Lord. He took Mary home to be his wife, and when the baby was born, He named him Jesus. Many times in Scripture, godly champions were greeted with the following words, and Mary was a godly champion. The Lord is with you is how many times in Scripture the angel or God would greet his godly champions. And that's exactly the way the angel Gabriel greeted Mary. We have a Gabriel in our midst today. Sometimes you think he's an angel. All right? In Luke 1:28, the angel Gabriel said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Let's now tell the Christmas story from the perspective of Mary. Mary didn't know what to make of the angel's greeting. I mean, just think of it. What if you were greeted by an angel? You might be taken aback a little bit. She did not know what to make of the angel's greeting. The angel Gabriel reassured her in Luke 1, verse 30. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." God was establishing a kingdom that would never end. He was establishing a kingdom through a baby that would never end. He was establishing a different kind of kingdom, a kingdom that would be forever and ever, not a national kingdom or an earthly kingdom, but a kingdom that would transcend nationalities, a kingdom that would be set up in the hearts of children and old people and young men and young women and middle-aged men and middle-aged women, a different kind of kingdom, not a kingdom of the sword or of weapons of war, but a kingdom that would be motivated out of a heart of sacrificial love. Amen. Starting with the King himself, motivated out of sacrificial love, and then all through his subjects, that we would be motivated out of sacrificial love. Jesus, a different kind of king that people all over the world would embrace and willingly follow out of a motivation of love. A king that people would even be willing to die for because they've learned to understand how much their king loves them. How much their king is not out for his own kingdom or his own riches or his own popularity or his own this and that, that he's getting all this to himself. They understand that this king loves them. And so therefore they would not deny their king. It's this kind of kingdom. In verse 34, Mary asked the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" She was admittedly at a loss about this development. The angel explained to Mary the miracle of her conception. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded with humble submission to the Lord's will for her life. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Mary's willingness to obey the Lord's will for her made her a champion in the faith. When Mary visited her relative Elizabeth, who was pregnant herself, Elizabeth commended Mary for her faith. In Luke 1:45, Elizabeth said, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Indeed, as Mary and Joseph exemplified, it is nothing less than God-pleasing faith that causes us to listen to and obey the Lord's will for our lives. That is the lesson that we can learn from the story of Joseph and Mary. two lives that were turned upside down. Turned upside down times two. And they responded to the Lord's will for their lives. What if God would come to you and say, I've got something for your life that is going to turn your life upside down? And so, for the young people here, for the young people, the children here, the teenagers, the young ones that are growing up, for all of us, what is our response to this Lord, this loving Father, this God that created us and comes saying, I have a plan for you. I have a will for you. What is our response? I encourage you to seek the Lord's will for your life. God has a plan for you. And it's a good plan. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Humbly listen to and obey the Lord's will for your life. Go through that process, excruciating as it may be at times. Sometimes it's an excruciating process. I wonder what Joseph might have been going through. All right, here it was, his betrothed, his loved one. All right, and his world was turned upside down. Sometimes it's an excruciating process to go through that season in which we're crying out to God, seeking God. But for the young people here, the college students, which are so grateful that you've come back here today, I encourage you to keep seeking God. Keep seeking His will for your life. For all of us, keep seeking God's direction. Keep crying out to Him. He will let His will be known to you. Humbly listen to and obey the Lord's will for you. As Joseph and Mary did, be willing to submit to God's will for you. You cannot be wrong. You cannot go wrong if you sell all for Christ. Be willing to say as Christ did, Christ Himself, yet not as my will, yet not as I will, but as you will. Let's all stand. Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us. And you can know that Jesus is with you today. If you have never received Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, I encourage you to do so today. Make Jesus Emmanuel in your life. God with you. It's how Jesus saves us. We're saved if we have Jesus with us. As the prophet Isaiah shared many generations earlier, and RJ shared with us this morning, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Amen. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's all bow our heads. Is Jesus Christ Emmanuel to you? Do you have Jesus Christ in your life? Do you have Jesus Christ with you? Emmanuel, God with us? If you have never received Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, I encourage you to do so today. The Bible says in John 1:12, yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. I know when I was a young person, when I was in college, that was a verse that I hung on to with my fingernails. With my fingernails when I was going through it. Yet to all who received Him, have you received Christ as your Savior and Lord? Then you have Emmanuel with you. But if you have never received Christ, I encourage you to do so today. Just repeat these words after me. Call out to the Lord. The Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. What a What a great day to receive salvation. Jesus means the Lord saves. Let Him save you today. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for sending Your Son Jesus as a babe to be Emmanuel, to be God with us. And right now, I'm tired of going my own way. And I choose to go Your way. I choose Your way. And I receive Christ as my Savior and Lord. Thank You for making me Your child. Thank You that God is with me. Emmanuel. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.